Good morning. It's good to gather in the Lord's house this day to worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It is an exciting day as we have an opportunity to worship, to celebrate who Christ is, what he's going to do today, and what he's going to do from this point on. The Lord has blessed us with a beautiful day to worship and celebrate our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As we begin our time of worship, I do want to welcome any guests we have with us this morning. Welcome to First Baptist Elon. We want to hope to give you a cordial invitation and a greeting, and I look forward to meeting you as you come out of the service later on at the following our benediction. In your pew this morning, there are visitor cards, and if you're welcome to fill one of those out and drop them in the offering plate as they're passed around. Also, in your pew, you also find prayer cards. In case you have a prayer request that you would have the church staff pray for you this week, you can write those on the card as well and drop those in the offering plate. I hope you gathered as you came in this morning a salmon-colored sheet with ministry opportunities coming up, not only this evening, but also in the coming weeks. Reminder tonight, we have our fellowship meal at 5 o'clock for everyone to come. Following that at 5:30, our children's ministries will meet. Our youth will meet for a brief short time before our Elon Roundtable meeting that'll take place at 5:45. I encourage everyone to come to that. Our adults and youth will be involved in that meeting tonight at 5:45, so please come out for that. As you look ahead, you'll notice that next Sunday there's a luncheon right after worship, sponsored by our youth as we prepare for our summer retreat and mission experience coming up in July. And you'll also notice many other opportunities, including Tony Brooks coming in 2 weeks, that we want to encourage you to sign up for and on the bulletin board out in the hallway this morning. Many other opportunities that are going on, please look at your bulletin and your salmon-colored sheet as you prepare for those opportunities. As we begin our time of worship this morning, we begin with our opening scripture reading, which comes from Psalm 16, verses 5 through 11. The Lord is my chosen portion and my cup. You hold my lot. The boundary lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. I have a goodly heritage. I bless the Lord who gives me counsel. In the night also my heart instructs me. I keep the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my soul rejoices. My body also rests secure, for you do not give me up to Sheol, or let your faithful ones see the pit. You show me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. In your right hand are pleasures forevermore. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray this morning. Father God, as we gather in this place today, we come with anticipation. Anticipation of the music that is going to be sung, the prayers that are going to be prayed, the scripture that is going to be read, and the word that is going to be delivered. Father God, as we gather here in this place, we gather as a community, guided by your Holy Spirit who is here with us. We give you thanks for your presence, and we look forward and anticipate what you're going to have us hear and what you're going to have us do. Father, we lift this prayer in your Son, Jesus Christ's name, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Would you stand and join us in singing our hymn of praise, For the Beauty of the Earth, verses 1, 3, 4, and 6. Please stand. This morning, it is my great blessing and opportunity to introduce our guest pastor with us, Pastor James Patrick. A couple months ago, Burlington ministers gathered, and there was a discussion about talking about the heightened racial tension that existed, not just within our own community, but across this nation. And one of the decisions that was made was an opportunity to do a pastor swap, for pastors to switch churches for a Sunday, to bring people together as the community of Christ. This morning, Pastor Mason is preaching at Gethsemane Christian Church, and we have the blessing of having Pastor James Patrick with us this morning. Pastor James Patrick celebrates his 15 years of pastor, teacher, and apostle of Gethsemane Christian Church, located in Burlington, North Carolina. He came to serve Gethsemane Christian Church in February of 2000. Today, the church is thriving with impactful preaching and countless healing and deliverance services, which is the signature of his life-changing ministry. His leadership has helped the church to transform, develop disciples, and prepare leaders in the kingdom of God. Pastor Patrick is a professional and called man of God who was ordained July 24, 1998 by the High Point Association in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. He received his Bachelor of Arts degree in Pastoral Ministries in 2004 and his Master's degree in 2005 from the Master's Divinity School in Evansville, Indiana. His passion is for equipping ministers and key church leaders to minister the Word of God to the people of God, has stirred him to develop a minister's training class that strengthens spiritual growth and provides training to those who desire to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. His motto, in which I hold very high in my heart, is this: you need to know what you are talking about. Pastor Patrick's apostolic influence has been launched to the nation, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to all who will receive it. His mission is to develop believers to hunger and thirst after the Word of God, rightly divide the Word of truth, and to look with great expectations for the promises of God to manifest in their lives. Pastor Patrick is supported by his loving wife, Lanice, 3 daughters, 2 grandsons, and 2 granddaughters. This year's theme for the church is preparing the church for the days ahead. It is our pleasure to welcome Pastor James Patrick with us this morning. Also, Mr. George Enoch, minister from Gethsemane as well. It is a wonderful opportunity to be with us. We join as a community. That's why we're here.
Join me to approach the grace of mercy. Lord, we just want to thank you for giving us life and breath. But we also thank you for this time where we take a portion of what you've blessed us with, and from whom all blessings flow. We lift up our offering and our tithes to you, and we ask that you bless it and anoint it so we can continue to go and build your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Till the storm storm passes by. We want to say good morning to you all. And we thank and praise the Lord for this wonderful privilege to come and share his word with his people. We're delighted to be here. Give honor to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ who saved us. I don't know about you, I'm happy about being saved. I'm even more happy to live a saved life. That's important to me. Thank God for my brother here who's attended to us this morning so wonderfully. Thank you so much, brother, my brother. And we just greet you all in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, we're going to loosen up just a little bit if it's all right. So if you don't mind, can I just get you to look at about two or three of your neighbors and say, neighbor, I'm so glad to see you this morning. Come on, let's give God a praise. Amen. 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 Now, listen. I love the Lord, and he is good. And his mercy is amazing because his mercy is that he did not give me what I deserved. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad about that. And so I'm not going to try to put on. I'm just going to come and preach the word, if that's all right, this morning. Amen? And every once in a while, if you feel like saying amen, it'll be all right. All right. I thank the Lord for the coalition that came together that made it possible for us to get out of our comfort zones a little bit and come out and preach the word of God. There ought to be something that we ought to have in common. And I believe the word of God ought to be a good foundation where we can build upon to where we can impact one another's lives. It'll be a shame for us to practice and do all of the things that we do here, and then when we're called home, find out that we miss what God has for us because we missed a vital part, and that's coming together and being one. And so we honor the Lord again, and we thank him for this privilege. I thank Pastor Smith for coming to Gethsemane. I left him in good hands over there. He's going to be all right. All right, and he'll be back. And my prayer is that he'll come and share his experience and tell you how good a time he had over there and that our people really treated him good. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go with me to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I preach and teach and share from the King James Version of the Bible. I'm not going to raise a fuss about the other versions. I've just learned how to hear what God is saying to me through King James, if that's all right. Amen. And I'm going to lift up two verses of scripture here in this chapter and make an attempt to just stay with them so I don't keep you here all day long. Normally, I got three pages in my notes, and I got to tell you, my wife said, baby, that's going to be a little bit longer than you need. And so I said, all right, dear. And while I was saying that, let me introduce my wonderful, beautiful wife, Lady Lanice Patrick. Amen. Amen. And beside her is Minister Dorothy Enoch and her husband, Mr. George Enoch. They are faithful members of our church, and we are delighted to have them with us. All right, let's get ready for the reading of the word. If you don't mind, can I get you to stand with me so we can give reverence to the reading of the word of the Lord? As I prepare to do this, listen, and I believe this is where we got this from, in the book of Nehemiah, when Nehemiah stood to read the scriptures because they had lost the book of God, they had lost the word, and when they got the word back, when they got ready to read the word, they would stand, and the Bible talks about when they started reading the word that they knelt down on their knees and they started weeping. Because they realized how they had gotten so far away from the Lord. So when we stand and give reverence to the reading of God's words, we just honor God for his greatness and his goodness. Amen? Let's go. We're going to begin our reading at verse 1. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And I want to use for a thought this morning, driven by his goodness. Let us pray. Precious Father, thank you so much for this time you've given us. Thank you for the opportunity to hear your word, an opportunity once again that your Holy Spirit can move and search our hearts and draw us ever close to you. The truth of the matter, Lord, is that we are nothing without you. So I thank you for what you're doing today. Prepare us to see and understand what you really require of us, that we can offer ourselves to you as living sacrifices to be used in the kingdom to impact the lives of someone else. We bless your name and we give you glory. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You all may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Driven by his goodness. What is it that makes you come to church? What is it that challenges you to do the things that you do? What is it when you hear the term excellence, to serve with a spirit of excellence? How do you see that? How does that impact your life to the point where you find yourself wanting to do the best you can for the Lord? What is it that God did in your life? Is there one thing or is there a list of things that God has done in your life that now has you on a place where you tell yourself it doesn't matter what anybody says, it doesn't matter what anybody else do. Because of what I've experienced from the Lord, I'm going to commit myself to him and I'm going to do it in such a manner that I'm not going to worry about what anybody else is going to think or say. What is it? That's what I want to get to, because I believe that if we're going to be able to change our community, if we're going to be able to change our church, our homes, there has to be people with a driven mentality, not just showing up to show up, but committed and focused and anchored in and really desiring to see God move and work in people's lives. Stay with me as I get into this message this morning. I believe that we'll all be blessed. In his first letter to the Corinthians, the Apostle Paul confronts the contentions that had begun to impact the church in a negative way. Because of the impact of his first letter, he writes this second letter in an effort to provide comfort to the church. In other words, he had hit them so hard that it bothered him, because his intentions were only to show a clear direction that the church needed to go in. Sometimes confronting hard things is difficult in the church, especially when you find yourself serving with one another and getting to know one another, that sometimes to come and have to say some hard things is not always an easy thing to do. When we look at the life of the Apostle Paul, and especially while where he had ministered and helped lay the foundation for the church at Corinth, I like to use the term that Corinth was his baby. He loved that church and he loved those there, but contentions had gotten there where they had started getting distracted from the message of Jesus Christ and allowing other things to come in. And so he writes this letter to them, challenging them. But it bothered him, just like it bothers us. You know when your child gets in trouble and you know you have to spank them? Is there any fathers in here that hurt you more than it hurt them when you had to get a hold to them? And I believe that's a little bit of how the Apostle Paul was feeling. And as I said, the direction was to follow Christ. The direction that the church needed to go in was to follow after Christ, who had accomplished everything to secure salvation for them. The same thought applies to us today. Everything that's needed to be done has already been done in order for us to receive the salvation and the assurance of what God has made available. In this fourth chapter, it allows us to see the heart of the apostle as he makes known a part of what has impacted his life. That's all it is. He's had an impact. Serving the Lord Jesus, serving God, being called to be an apostle unto Jesus Christ has made an impact upon his life. From these two verses, I would like to identify Five points, I think, is of great importance as we share this word this morning. Y'all bear with me there, because sometimes I can get on a roll and I don't have my watch on, and I don't have my, and I don't see a clock, so I'm going to try to stick with my 5 points, so I won't go too long. Amen. As we look at this text, are you with me so far? As we look at this text, like I say, there are five things. I want to talk about the therefore. I want to talk about ministry. I want to talk about faint not. I want to talk about a desire to change. And I want to talk about a desire to be genuine. All right? First thing, therefore. The therefore in this particular text allows us or challenges us to take a look back. And I know sometimes when we look at our lives and look at all of the things that we've endured and gone through, sometimes we don't want to look back, because sometimes looking back is a bad thing. But in particular, looking back allows us to get a good understanding and see why the Apostle Paul makes such a strong declaration here in this particular verse. Are you with me? So if you go back to chapter 1 in the book of 2 Corinthians, he challenged us to look back at the fact that what he desires for the people is that they be comforted, but also be comforted in the same manner in which he was comforted. He says here in verse 3, he says, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." And so he lets them know that his desire, knowing that he's written this hard letter to them, he's really got their best interest in mind. He wants them to be comforted. But also he lets us in on a secret about how him and others presented themselves. Go with me to verse 8 in that same chapter. He says, "For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure." Anybody ever felt like that? Being pressed out of measure, especially when you're trying to do the right thing. Pressed out of measure when you're trying to be faithful. Pressed out of measure when you're trying to represent God and seem like sometimes you can't get nobody else to go with you. But listen what he says. He said, "We were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But," verse 9, "we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raised the dead." So the first part of therefore, and this is an amazing portion of scripture. He says, as we traveled, as we went forth and we ministered the gospel of Jesus Christ to other people, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we wouldn't trust ourselves, but trust in the Lord that raised up the Lord Jesus. Because I believe what the apostle understood is that if there's one thing that could get him in trouble, it would be himself. I wish I had a witness here. Do you hear what I'm saying? He realized that self could get you in, get in your way, and could cause a lot of trouble when it comes down to doing the service of the Lord. If we look back over the apostle's life, we know he was on the road to Damascus when he ran into Jesus. But then he found himself, there was a time where he was stoned and left for dead. He was beaten. He was locked in jail, all because he was trying to fulfill the will of God. And what was that will? To go and let other folk know how good the Lord is. To go and tell other people that God is in the saving business, that Jesus Christ has secured salvation for them, that all you got to do is get yourself to a place where you trust in the Lord. He'll work everything for your good. Second thing that I want you to see in the therefore is found in chapter 2, around verse 14, where he says, "Now thanks be unto God, which also causes us to triumph in Christ." Let me stop right there, because I got to tell you like this. That ain't just winning, but that's winning with a long margin. You got to understand, the word triumph doesn't mean that I barely made it through, but I come out on top, and I come out on top looking good. I wish I had a witness with me. Do you hear what I'm saying? Because sometimes when you look at the challenges of life, Life comes sometimes and it can knock you down and make you feel like you're no good. But Paul says it like this, but thanks be unto God, who always, not sometime, not every once in a while, not a maybe, but always causes us to triumph. And he maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. Now, the understanding of that is when other folks see me working his word, they get strength to believe that God can do what he said he can do. Oh, good God Almighty, when you tell somebody, well, the Lord healed me, that the Lord is a healer, that by his stripes are we healed, that the chastisement of my peace has been laid upon him, when they look at you and see you surviving situations that should have taken you out, but you still got your praise, you still got your joy, you still got your thanksgiving, you still got your gratitude, they see you getting up rather than sitting down. It changes their view of how God represents. And then the third thing, such a neighbor says, he always causes me to triumph. Don't be afraid, touch him. Say, he always. There might be somebody this morning sitting there right beside you. Look at your neighbor, say, neighbor, how did you get through? Well, I don't know how I got through. But what I found in his word is that he always causes us to triumph, which means that sometimes he's working when I can't see how he's working. He's fixing some things when I don't know how to put it together. All I know is that I came out on top. I went to bed with a heavy heart, but when I got up this morning, the joy of the Lord strengthened me. And I'm still in the race. Oh, I wish that I had somebody that know what I'm talking about. Has anybody ever laid down at nighttime not even knowing what the next day held for you, but woke up the next morning and had joy and had peace and had assurance that, well, I tell you what, I made it through last night. I believe today is going to be all right. He always causes us to triumph. Touch your neighbor, tell him, you're going to get through that. You got to talk to me now. Just talk to me a little bit. And then the last part of the therefore that I want you to see is the part where he talks about, and it's in chapter 3 of 2 Corinthians, as he talks about the Spirit of the Lord. Listen how he describes it. He says in verse 8, how shall not the ministration of the, well, let me go back to verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraved in stones was glorious, he's talking about the law of Moses, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away with. You all know the Old Testament story, how Moses stayed up on top of the mountain with the Lord for 40 days, 40 nights, that when he came down off the mountain, the glory of the Lord shone upon him so, it was so bright that he had to put a veil upon his face because they could not look upon him. That's what he's talking about. He said, then he says, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more do the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. And what he's talking about, because of what Jesus Christ has offered for each and every one of us, now God has made it possible to put himself on the inside of each and every one of us, where now his Spirit abides in us. And so the word says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so when Paul looks back at these things that he witnessed and has experienced, he comes and looking at the word therefore, he realized that God has done some things so amazing and so good for him because he did not get cut off. Now let me get back to chapter 4. He says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry. So now I got to talk about ministry. He uses the term ministry here because he realizes that he got something that he did not have. Because the Apostle Paul now, you know, he studied at the feet of Gamaliel. He was a Pharisee. He was somebody that knew the scriptures. But there was something missing. And so he finds something, or something finds him. I believe what it is where now the Spirit of the Lord comes and takes root in his heart and starts now by the Spirit of revelation to make known the mysteries of God unto him. That now he says, I got to go tell somebody else what the Lord has shown me. I got to let him know how good he is. I got to let him know how faithful he is. I got to let him know what God is promising us in his word and what he desires of us. Ooh, here's where it gets good. Touch your neighbor, say it gets good right here. It gets good because, watch this, if you're saved, you ought to have that same excitement of going and letting somebody know how good the Lord is. If you're saved, if you've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, if you've been baptized and went down and come up and made a brand new creature, you too ought to have the same passion in your heart to let somebody else know that God has made a way for us. You don't have to live doubtful. You don't have to live confused. You don't have to stay stuck there. God has made it possible for you to get up. Got this ministry. Got this ministry. Then he goes on and he says, I receive mercy. And as I was putting this message together, I thought about it like this. It's an amazing thing to come to a place in your life where you acknowledge, I receive mercy from God. As good as we think we are sometimes, and as good of things that we do sometimes, the truth of the matter, when you understand it, our best is but filthy rags unto the Lord. And to come to a place in your life where you're willing to acknowledge, if it had not been for the Lord, I would have been in a whole lot of trouble. Can I come just a little bit closer? Have you ever had some days in your life where when you sit down and you think about what you used to do, all of a sudden get a sick feeling on the inside, couldn't believe you could be detestable? Am I the only one ever experienced that? Ever had a feeling on the inside? Oh God! Oh my God! I did that! Oh my goodness! And then all of a sudden, start getting an overwhelming sense of gratitude that Lord, the Lord changed you, that you don't do what you used to do, and you don't go where you used to go, and you don't say what you used to say, and you don't hang with the folk that you used to hang with, and you start looking back and say, Lord, I thank you. Well, watch this. I believe what has happened with the Apostle Paul is now what drives him is that he looks and sees just how good the Lord has been to him. Seeing and understanding what God has repositioned him, seeing how God gave him another chance. You do know he identifies himself as the chief of sinners. I like to say it like this. He will say it to the church, ain't nobody bad like me. If there's anybody that was bad, if there's anybody that deserved to go to hell, I was supposed to go to hell. But he gave me another chance. Now because he gave me another chance, I'm going to tell everybody I know that God can give you another chance. Amen. Ooh, good God Almighty. He says, I got this ministry work. Listen, I like what he says. He said, seeing we have this ministry. He says, we have this ministry. Now he includes you and he includes me. We got to let other folk know what we found. We got to let other folk know what we got. Why? Because we know that God is a God of comfort, that God is a God that will not fail you. He will always allow you to come out on top, no matter what you go through. But you got to have it in your mind that I'm coming out on top. And then if you got his spirit in you, he's going to make sure that you experience the liberty. Then he says, I faint not. And I love this. There was a song that came out years ago, Ain't No Stopping Me Now. And it was a popular song. We used to dance forward to it and have a good time and stuff. But it made a whole lot of sense. And it makes a whole lot of sense now. Because Paul says, I'm not going to let nothing stop me from telling other folk how good the Lord is. Can I? If y'all just bear with me, I'm not trying to get long-winded. But it's good to me. It's good to me. In the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 10, he says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto God and to good works, which God have before ordained that we should walk in them. I want to say this to everybody. That text right there lets me know I'm supposed to win. It lets me know you're supposed to win. It lets me know that we are supposed to be victorious. And I want to believe that God has enough that I don't have to be envious of anything that you got. And you don't have to be envious of anything that I got. But God has called us. God brought us into the earth realm in order for us to be winners, not losers, not strugglers, not backbiters, not haters, but brought us in together so that we could be able to go forth and show how amazing, how wonderful, how good he is. In the book of Acts chapter 17, around about verse 26, it says this, and I'm getting there. Y'all bear with me. I'm just following the unction of the Spirit. That's all right. He says, and here's when he's talking to the people in Athens. He says to them, in verse 23, for as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown God, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship. Him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath, and all things have made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and have determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. That scripture lets me know he knows exactly where I'm at, and he knows where he wants me to go. If I trust him, he's going to get me where he desires me to be able to go, and ain't nothing going to stop me. And ain't nothing going to stop you. In the body of Christ, we are at a place now, if we don't have the word of God and we don't stand on the word of God, then we miss God. And then we'll find ourselves getting ensnared by distractions that's all designed to make us look like the body of Christ is not working. The devil is a lie. He is working. The Lord is good. He woke you up again this morning. In spite of what you may have done, in spite of whether you did everything right or wrong, you woke up again this morning. He woke you up right on time. If you had laid there 10 seconds too long, you'd still be laying there. You'd be gone. But he woke you up on time. The Lord is good. His mercy endures forever. So Paul says, I'm not going to stop. I faint not. I might get weary. I might get tired, but I'm not going to stop. I got to go let somebody else know how good the Lord is. I'm not going to stop emulating the character of Christ. Oh, my goodness. Good God Almighty. He shows us in the word how he lays down his life. But this next point of what I want to talk about is my favorite. Because I believe when you encounter Jesus, it brings about a change in your life. Listen to the change that the Apostle Paul says. He says in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. And I said, there is a desire to change, a renunciation of bad ways. Listen how he says this. But have renounced the hidden things. He uses this word renounce. It's a spiritual term that you'll find when people are practicing witchcraft and practicing demonology. Renounce. Meaning that I got to get away from it. I'm cutting it off and I'm not going back. Because many of them, they don't realize when they practice. This is why I warn our children about going out here and doing a lot of the body piercing and tattooing. And I mean, now watch this now. We find ourselves on a lot of stuff before we get saved. And what we're experiencing now with the generation is, boy, they are messed up. But God still wants to save them. So they may come in and they may not look like us. And I can tell you right now, you ain't bothered as much as I am by what I see with some of the attire and the markings and the stuff. They make gods of themselves because they haven't found the true and living God. Paul says, I renounce, I renounce. He used this term because he's really talking about himself. I'm getting away from some stuff that I used to do. I renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. And I'm glad that he describes it like that, because a lot of times when we are doing dishonest things, we don't want nobody to see what we're doing when we're doing it. But he says, I've chosen to cut myself off from doing things dishonestly and crafty, sneakily. No. What he says, I have a desire to change. Why? Because he's been too good to me to keep living the way that I've been living. And so I can get closer to you, just a little closer this morning. I believe there's somebody in here that needed to hear this word, that God is saying, I want you closer to me. But to get closer to me, you got to let go of some things. You got to let go of those dishonest things. And what's this? And you know that there are people that come around you, and every time they come around you, they're trying to lure you into an arena that you know is not where your heart wants you to be. He says you got to renounce it. You got to get away from it. There's a desire to change. He says I renounce the hidden things of dishonesty. Not walking in craftiness, not walking in, not plotting and scheming, not carrying myself, not trying to look one way, but really in my heart I'm being different. But no. But watch this. This is the part. Here's the part. A desire to be genuine. He says, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. In other words, he says, I want what you see to be the real thing. If when I look at you and the character and the integrity that you display is not the real thing, then something is wrong. And if God's goodness can't drive you to that place where you look at yourself and realize you need change, then you're going to be in trouble. So when I look at this message and I see what he says, Paul says, I'm driven by God's goodness. God's goodness won't let me stay the same. God's goodness won't let me mistreat other people. His goodness won't let me stay and operate in an arena that does not allow God to be glorified. I want to make sure that my life gives glory to God. I want to make sure that God is happy with me. I want to make sure that when you see me, I don't have to say anything. You can tell what I'm in possession of. I got him in me. Because it oozes from my existence. If we stop trying to show them, and we start, or should I say, stop trying to tell them how saved we are and live saved, we can change our generation. We can change our community. We can change our church. Driven by his goodness. So as I wrap it up and I bring it on in, here's the Apostle Paul, identified as the chief of sinners. And just because of his past was something that he had to overcome. But the impact that Jesus has upon his life does not allow him to allow his past to stop believing that God can use him to impact the lives of other people. I love his testimony. In chapter 11 of 2 Corinthians, he says, I speak as concerning, in verse 21, he says, speak as concerning reproach as though we had been weak. Howbeit, wherensoever in his bowl, I speak foolishly. I am bold also. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I'm more. In labors, more abundantly. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequently. In depths, oft. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. 39 times. Just like Jesus, who got beaten, got those 39 lashes. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I was shipwrecked. A night and a day I have been in a deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and plainfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. And beside those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all of the churches. But I like what Paul says. None of these things move me. None of those things stop me from sharing the good news about what Jesus Christ has done. He has reconciled us back to the Father. Hebrews would tell us. Hebrews chapter 12, chapter 10. Verse 14 says, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Talking about us. This is what Jesus Christ did. He did it. He's already perfected us. We just hadn't gotten there yet. By one offering. He's called us, Hebrews 12, 28. He's called us to a kingdom that cannot be moved. He's done too many things for us to let it get away from us. And so as I close this morning, if his goodness is not driving you, you may find it difficult to be faithful. If his goodness, where it could have been you got diagnosed with cancer, could have been your child that strung out on drugs, it could have been you that woke up blind this morning. And yet God, in his infinite wisdom and goodness and his sovereignty, has spared each and every one of us. And we are here. You ought to tell somebody, I'm driven by his goodness. Come on, stand to your feet. I hope I didn't preach too long. We're going to ask the choir to come, and they're going to give us a song. My altar call this morning to you is, if you know you could do better and you haven't done as good as you should, and letting God know how much you appreciate what he's done, but you're ready for change, you're ready to change, would you make your way down to the altar so we could pray for you and just a prayer of encouragement. Maybe you've never accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of your life, and so none of this is working in your life, but you want it to work. Maybe you're tired. I love that part where he lets me know. One of the signs that you're ready for change is a weariness within your heart, a weariness within your spirit. You feel tired. And you don't know what to do. Today is your day. Why don't you come to him? Why don't you calm down? Don't worry about what anybody else say. We've all have had to make the journey. And I want to believe that we all are at a place in our life where we're like Paul. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the power of God unto salvation. And I believe it. We'll ask Minister Durham. He'll lead you to the Lord. But today is your time. Come on, choir, and bless us if you could, please. come. Let me pray, all heads bowed. Precious Father, we thank you so much today. I sprinkle the blood of Jesus over each and every heart, every home represented, every person represented. In every that we didn't cover, Lord, I pray your spirit will continue to reveal to them. I exercise authority over sickness and disease and infirmities and all of the things that would try to be distraction and a hindrance over the people of God's life. We bind those things now in the name of Jesus over their lives. And we lose love, peace, and joy, healing, restoration to all of them, and strength, Lord, that they can go forth and be the people of God you've called them to be. And Lord, my prayer, let them too be driven by your goodness, that they may see and know just how amazing and how wonderful you are. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.